Gents.
What's good, people?
It's Reg.
It's Stone.
And we are out here, you know what I'm saying? We're hearing some news. We're hearing that there's some issues. We're hearing things about, you know, TikTok being an agent of a foreign country. We're hearing about how they might be forced to sell assets. You know, me and Stone being the prime businessman that we are, you know, we're cobbling some assets together, some investors, you know what I'm saying? And we're going to take that shit over, you know what I'm saying?
Let's go.
You got too many black creators out there making them dances, making them songs, being locked out of this revenue, you know what I'm saying? We're doing some black capitalism because, as we all know, black capitalism will save us all. to quote Jay-Z. And yeah, let's get this money.
Man, the sad thing is, right, like, so basically, like, TikTok is, they might force a sale of TikTok to a U.S. company, which I got some feelings about that, but it was not a political show. But it almost feels like it will take every rich black person in America to raise the funding and then, like, get approved to actually buy TikTok, right? Whereas Elon Musk can just, like, do that on a Tuesday.
Yeah, I would, going back to your political point, I will say this much. Not to say I'm on my conspiracy stuff, but I will say Elon Musk would have an easier pathway to buy it, even if we had the funds, let's just say.
For sure. No, for sure. It's not even like about having the money. You gotta like actually get approved to buy the thing, which is crazy.
And they don't trust us. I'm gonna have Dr. Umar, you know, in the algorithm, number one, baby. Get some Sean White in there for just some giggles, you know what I'm saying?
You know, but even then, it's just like, I don't feel like, you know, because Elon is worth like $44 billion. Like there's not, like, you know, we have Jay-Z, Beyonce, they're like $1 billion, $2 billion, like Kanye, $2 billion, right? Like, we don't have a $44 billion person.
Oh, yeah, no, we're in poor houses. No, like,
we have, like, you know, maybe Oprah, maybe Tyler Perry can do some things. But also, we don't want Oprah and Tyler Perry owning TikTok. Real talk. But, like, yeah, no, like this is America, man. We should be making a play for TikTok. And, yeah, we just don't have the capital. Womp, womp.
Womp, womp.
And welcome back, y'all.
Welcome back. We're going to start off on some negative news. We've kind of talked about it before. Last couple of weeks, the trial of the Jam Master Jay murder has kind of come to a conclusion. It's a relatively sad story. I guess justice has been served. You know, both the murderers are serving long jail times. Long story short, it was basically his godson and his best friend, his childhood best friend. Story goes apparently that Jam Master Jay was somebody who turned to dealing drugs like a lot of people do just because he kind of had to keep the revenue flowing. He was somebody who had a studio. He had projects. I don't know if it's a testimony to himself per se, but it seemed like he was somebody who wasn't necessarily too hidden about what he was doing. So as a result, it looks like, you know, the story boils down to, you know, a deal was happening. He tried to bring his godson in. Something happened. His godson got cut out, and this was the retaliation. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I can't say that America doesn't make it into a place of where, you know, financial stability isn't important. I'm not going to say that it's a place of where that it doesn't teach you the wrong things about materialism, because ultimately revenue is what keeps you alive. If you have no money, you will die in America. At the same time, it kind of sucks because, you know, is this somebody who was an icon? Is somebody who should be in his lean years? Or he should be touring with Run DMC? And, you know, something like this happens kind of sucks. But I will say that after years, decades actually, of not knowing who the murderer is, hopefully the family can find some peace.
Yeah, so there's a few things that are resonating with me. One, it took, what, almost 20 years?
Yeah.
It's like, to get to this point, and it was, like, somebody, like, in the family. I don't know, man. Like, part of me just kind of feels like that's, like, some whack-ass detective work, to be honest.
Yeah, you know? Agreed.
And then the other thing that's resonating with me, and we're just talking before we start, like, hit record, it's just like, you know, the sad thing is, like, this type of stuff kind of happens all the time, right? Whether it's like a drug deal gone bad, or somebody feels cut out, or somebody, you know, and
yeah,
you know, not saying like it's not worthy of discussion, but it's just kind of really sad that, you know, like people have to get to this point, right, where like there's, you know, drugs involved, and people get into the process of selling drugs because it's not even easy money, right? But like you're able to create a lot of money for yourself in a very short amount of time, right? In a way that, you know, like the choices for a lot of people are like working at, you know, minimum wage, or like trying to hustle like 5 or 6 jobs, and then you have this opportunity to like make money fairly quickly. So I think that it's one of those things where I'm not surprised that Jam Master Jay like took this route, just because I feel like that's what a lot of Black people in America, not a lot of people, not even Black people, because there's way more like white drug dealers out here. But a lot of people feel like they need to take this route, and I just kind of feel like it's just a very sad story. And, you know, it also kind of shows you too that like it's not just like the dude on the street corner. It's like a lot of people are faced with this, and a lot of our rap icons are a lot of them just aren't making that. Like, we think they're still like, you know, out here flexing, but you're talking about somebody who hasn't done anything like from a career, you know, like everybody loves Run DMC, but their last album was like what, like 20, 30 years ago, right? So
yeah,
you know, it's that money is just not flowing as much as we think they are. So, you know, I guess I'm shocked, but not surprised, if that makes sense.
No, I agreed. And like I said, it's very thin. And like, I think there's a weird demonization of drug dealing. And I say that, again, I'm not saying that it's a good thing, but at the end of the day, it's still a business. It's still things kind of happen. And like I said, it's unfortunate because, you know, I'm not going to say that it's necessarily ideal how this happened, but he's obviously somebody where, you know, he got killed because he wasn't putting people, he tried, again, there was a point of where they were involved in the business and they weren't involved. So it's not necessarily like a situation of where it was just like a random robbery. It's just like, you know, it boils down to he got murdered for money, and it's kind of sad, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
like, I don't want to catch any judgment, but at the end of the day, man, it's like, you know, it's your godfather, you know what I'm saying? It's your friend. It's like, at the end of the day, none of it is worth it. And now, you know, you had a couple of, you know, unfortunately some decades of free life, but you're going to be old men behind bars. Was it really worth it?
Yeah, for sure.
And next up is basically my personal favorite story. This is what brings me life as somebody who has to work the 9-to-5 when two mega corporations fight. You know, basically, long story short, you know, Universal Music Group was like, yo, TikTok, run that fucking check. You ain't paying us enough for your little 30-second viral snippets of our songs. TikTok was just basically like the corporate version of No, You Suck Our Dicks. As a result, the first salvo was a whole bunch of Universal artists got pulled. And the most recent salvo is publishing, which we all know is slightly technically different from being on the label. They pulled all their Universal publishing artists also. So yeah, Now it's this weird stalemate of where who blinks first. Obviously, TikTok is important enough where, you know, there's actually a TikTok fucking billboard chart. I was reading an article basically about how, I guess, Project Pat has been going viral on TikTok.
Yeah.
So basically he had a show in fucking Bushwick that was literally all young TikTok kids, like singing back, like waiting for the TikTok viral hits to hit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a weird space of where it's, you know, because again, I used to clown. I used to be like, yo, who gives a fuck? You know, I was on my old man yelling at the clouds. But I have to admit, more so than the algorithm, more so than Spotify, TikTok has definitely captured the A, imagination of the youth, and B, playing fucking full stop, has kept some careers alive that, you know, definitely, you know, a second look at, new life. And I think it's been kind of a just generally a good thing. Again, I am not going to go hate, you know, it's again, between social media company and a music label, these are like two evil people. So it's like, I can't root for one over the other. I will say that I think ultimately pulling the songs though, is kind of fucked up, because I think it helped a lot of artists rebuilding their ground roots fucking fan base. And it's fucked up that they have to suffer, because honestly, win or lose, they will lose in this situation.
Yeah, I'm actually, and I followed this, I think, initially when the songs were pulled, and I'm assuming like they're still pulled from TikTok. And I was reading an article about TikTok engagement going down, but they didn't mention the universal thing. They mentioned more of like TikTok is basically trying to do this, like, basically it's like QVC. It's like TikTok shop. And they're putting like live shopping feeds and people's, like, you know, for you pages, and people are just like reacting to that. And then, like, I guess there's like this no talk movement where like people are like, oh, I'm addicted to TikTok. Like, you know, what the hell? But they didn't mention the universal thing. But, you know, one thing I was thinking is that, you know, like when the Universal pulled all his artists, that could have been like a really interesting opportunity for independent artists to kind of like, you know, blow up and just kind of fill that void, if that makes sense. And I don't know if that's happening. I know that there's like, I forgot her name, but like there's this one artist who, it's, she's non-binary. She's like she, they, and like she had a track that like really blew up on TikTok, and like to the point where, you know, some there are dances created to the track, and then like somebody who like was not a person of color started a dance, and that dance became way more popular than the track.
It tracks that literally. That's our timeline. Person,
but but, you know, like that person had a really, and I, you know, I think like, I don't think they got the track, like got to like the Billboard, like top 100 or whatever, but it was to the point where people were like playing the track. And then my cousin, like, sending me this track and say, hey, have you checked this artist out? Like, blah, blah, blah. So TikTok is a very interesting vehicle for an artist to gain traction. It's not like a sure thing, right? Like a lot of artists who gain traction on TikTok, like they're not even paying attention. Like they're always, they're like there's a lot of artists who are like, oh shit, like my track is high on TikTok because there's one person like used it in the background, right? So it is definitely a vehicle for to promote artists. And I do hope, like, if, you know, if we're not sharing like Taylor Swift and Beyonce anymore, like there might be more opportunities to share indie artists. But I guess what I'm seeing is that's not the case. Most people wanted to share Taylor Swift and Beyonce stuff, and they can't now. So maybe like that might be, I don't know, like something that will not bring TikTok down, but you're kind of seeing engagement go down because they don't have the opportunity. So I don't know. I don't know who's gonna budge, but I hope in like the ashes of this, the winners are like some of the independent artists. Like they have like some type of mechanism to, you know, push their music up forward now that like your TikToks and Beyoncé's and Weeknd's are not like a part of the picture. But we shall see.
Yeah, no, I think that, again, I'm not going to say that necessarily the songs go viral for all the right reasons. Like you said, it could be down to a dance. It could be down because it's behind a funny meme and it's more about the meme. Yeah. But like I said, I've seen artists, like I've definitely seen more so than Spotify, at least in recent memory, where an artist is like, yeah, this blew up. And as a result, XXX, and again, I'm not saying those checks come in because we all know those checks are non-existent. But they were like, yeah, but I was able to get a gig. Yeah. I was able to do XYZ because of it. And again, I'm not saying it was organic or necessarily rewarded the best music, but these are people who are musicians, professionals working on their craft, and any kind of opportunity to get heard by a larger audience is a great thing. And like I said, it's kind of, and like I said, it's no matter who wins between these two corporate entities, again, the artist will lose. That said, I am definitely siding with ideally a space of where that it gets back on fucking TikTok. And I think it's a little bit unfortunate that, you know, it's basically two companies fighting over their purse strings and not realizing like how much it hurts the artist at the end of the day. But, you know, maybe one day, you know, the next time around on the planet, we'll figure out a way to actually get artists to kind of justly pay them what they're worth. So,
you know, I don't know, man, like, and this is not going to happen because we're going to ban TikTok, but I mean, TikTok should be a label. and just like, you know, sign these independent artists and promote them. And like, you know, they don't even have an algorithm. They have like people in China like who are actually like promoting things like by hand. But like, use that force for good. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no. Agreed. Next thing, basically, is that, you know, movie news. It's more of a two-parter. Just generally that, you know, two of the two biggest selling movies of last year coming post Academy Awards were basically Beyonce and Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And then, you know, ideally it's not anything new. You know, we're not surprised about this. I've been seeing advertisements for its debut in Disney in regards to Taylor Swift being like, you know, Taylor version. You know, obviously I'm pretty sure Disney came with the mega bag for it to kind of be on there. I think it kind of goes back to, we kind of touched on it in the past, but I kind of want to make a bigger point about generally one of the best things about COVID. Imagine you start off a sentence like that. The one fun thing about COVID. You know, me and someone are privileged where generally we've got a disposable income. We're near some major city centers. We can always fly out, you know, I'm not saying we're necessarily balling out, but we're music fans, right? Yeah. So one thing I did generally enjoy is the fact of where, you know, during COVID times, there were a lot of interesting things to kind of bring, you know, the joy of live music to people who didn't have access and means. You know what I'm saying? Things from like, you know, Flying Lotus had a whole like music programming every Tuesday on fucking Twitch to obviously, you know, Erykah Badu would have these weird, like I know when Liv had a fucking album release, it was done live on Badu's webpage. There were a lot of playing with the paradigm so that way these live artists, these live events were not just kind of gatekept to people who were able to pay $1.50 on tickets. So generally, I am kind of happy for the return of like of movies and fucking, I mean, music movies, basically. You also had Talking Heads that had a re-release. So I think it's a great thing. That's when I kind of just put that in there as a shout out, just kind of because, you know, ideally, I'm hoping of things like this changing. It won't be necessarily just about the mega, mega, mega stars and just kind of realizing that there is an audience out there for wanting to kind of go to, you know, not fly out to L.A. to spend fucking 5 G's to go see Taylor Swift.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, like, you're right. Just, like, looking at, even when if we, like, not talk about Taylor Swift and Beyonce, like, something like the Tiny Desk concerts, right?
Yes!
And those have exploded during COVID, but now they're just another level. Like, they're basically at a point where, you know, Usher, T-Pain, Juvenile, like these guys are doing Tiny Desk concerts, and like that is opening up a lot of doors for them. And you know, a lot, I remember like Juvenile saying like he didn't even know what that was, and people were like, oh, you should do the Tiny Desk, and he's just like, you know, what the hell is that? And then like he did it, and again, yeah, like you know, we don't have the disposable income all the time to like fly to wherever you are going, or like, you know, I mean, he was like doing shows in Brooklyn and paying like charging like $100 a head, which I don't know if I'll pay that for Juvenile, maybe. But, you know, like now we just have this medium. We have multiple mediums to kind of get your creative art to people, you know. So we have obviously the live show. You've had music videos for a long time, but now we have like concert films. We have like, you know, Tiny Desk. We have like all these other things. And I think it's a beautiful thing. Yeah. And I think that, look, Taylor Swift is like a phenomenon. I you know, and it's funny too, because I talk about people who have kids, and it's just like, yeah, like, I mean, I don't know that much, like, that much Taylor Swift, but they're like, oh yeah, I'll let my daughter listen to Taylor Swift. I'm like, but really? Like, she's also like the problem, right? She's like dating all these dudes and talking about breaking up with them and like how, you know, whatever. But it's just like we want to have these connections with artists. Like, we want to be able to, if we can't actually go to the thing because, you know, the show is going to sell out in 2 minutes, like, we want to be a part of like that experience. And I think like that's something that's definitely changed since COVID. Like, even going to like shows that I didn't think would be sold out, like Lil Sims, like selling out like 3 nights. I think people just want that experience, even if they only know like one song or half of a song that they heard on TikTok. Like, they want that experience in some form or fashion. So I think, you know, it, whether it's, like I said, like, whether it's movies, like, whether it's, like, getting together and with friends and, like, you know, just jamming out, like, I think, like, a lot of that is just returning to the music experience, and I'm here for it, for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then to continue with the country, that's just country. Continue, actually, shit, country, because I guess technically they're both country artists now. Beyonce, number one country song on radio. Beyonce, Cowboy Carter Act 2, I'm coming out in a month. Beyonce trying to make white people mad in Tennessee.
Yeah, no, I so first off, here's what I want to say. It's almost like people being surprised that Andre 3000 has a flute album, but he's been, like, traveling for flute and just, like, playing in, like, the Atlanta airport like 6 years ago. Beyonce put out Daddy Lessons, which I thought was a great country song. And, like, you know, she tried to do it on the CMAs, but she didn't get nominated. Like, so she's had this in her, like, you know, like 6 years ago. So I guess this should be a huge surprise. But you know, I'm here for it. I feel like, and shout out to my boy Marcus Dowling, who like moves to Nashville and is covering country, you know, as a black music writer, right? Like this is kind of long overdue. I think there's a lot of people that are not named Beyonce who are trying to showcase, like, the black roots of country, right? And I think, like, country kind of got away from us as black people and just became this whole like thing. And I'm all here for it. And the fact that she's able to leverage her platform as Beyonce to do this, right? Because there's a lot of black, you know, there's like Mickey Guyton and like other black artists who are trying to do this, but like hitting walls and barriers. And country radio is, you know, I mean, even if you're like a female, right, in country radio, like a white female, you're still hitting like barriers, right? So, like, you know, Bebe Rexha was a country artist. Who's like the woman who, like, she almost retired because she couldn't get on radio, like Dixie Chicks, like they Dixie got Chicks, you know, Christ, yeah, ostracized. So, like, yeah. But Beyonce is like, oh, you know what? I'm going to use my power of Beyonce to do this. So, yeah, no, I mean, I you know, got to stand for the queen, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm hoping the chicks are on the album. Yeah, no, at the end of the day, it's always been a black art form, like many American musics. It's always been weirdly, again, I find Nashville fascinating because it's almost a weird microcosm of the wider music industry. Because the only thing is it kind of smacks you in the face a little bit more because you've got the same kind of fucked upness, the same kind of abuses, the same kind of XYZ. But at the same time, you've got these artists that need to kind of portray like a I'm just like you-ism. So it's weird where, you know, and again, you know, it's like, we're not a fan of Puffy anymore, but the idea of Puffy being out here, the yachts and everything else, and, you know, all the, and, you know, confirmed fucking abuse, that kind of aligns more with what we kind of expect to see. Is this weird where Nashville is as bad, but they're able to brand it as a little different because, oh, well, this guy was he was playing acoustic guitar in a corner store, and now he signs, and it's like, no, it's still the same exact shit. You know, there's a reason why songwriters go out there to kind of get their thing. You know, it's still the industry, you know, and so, like, the idea of where, again, not to say that Beyonce isn't the industry also, but it's definitely been in a stagnant space. It's a space that's definitely crept a lot from hip hop and kind of cannibalized itself. You know, while I am happy that, you know, Tracy Chapman got a bag, there's a reason why old Tracy Chapman song got done literally word for word over and became a huge hit in country radio because country radio is kind of starving. So I think it's a great thing for the genre in general, even though they might not see it right now. Ultimately, they needed a kick in the ass.
Yeah, and Nashville is you know, kind of the last bastion, I think, of, like, true music gatekeeping, payola, like, things like that. You know, obviously the racism and sexism, T-Pain that came out and said like he's written a bunch of country songs, but like the racism was so bad, like he's like ghostwritten country songs, right? And that dude can sing some country. Like I want a country T-Pain album. If Beyonce was smart, she would have T-Pain on the album. You know,
agreed.
But it's literally kind of like this fortress where, you know, hip hop now, obviously there's gatekeepers, there's controllers of the money in the bag, but like, you know, like you can be a SoundCloud rapper, like you could be a TikTok rapper. There's so many different avenues for you to kind of get on. So even if there's like at the very top, there's these gatekeepers, like it's not like at the very bottom, like you still kind of like maneuver your way like to success. Whereas in country in Nashville, it's like from top to bottom, they're gatekeepers.
Agreed.
You know,
it's like two lanes. It's like pop country and old country.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then, yeah. And like you said, at the end of the day, you still have to, you show up in Nashville with that brand new guitar off the fucking Greyhound, and you have to apply to one of those jobs, and that's it.
Yeah. And that shit hasn't changed for like 60 years, which is crazy.
So yeah, so in a weird way, we're hoping Beyonce kind of needs to save country music, because it does. I think that there's definitely a taste of Americana, you know, infamously so that, you know, country music was one of the big drivers of reggae music. You know what I'm saying? That was where a lot of the bad man thing, a lot of those tropes were exported and admired by people in Jamaica, and that's how one of the formative like points of reggae music. Obviously, black people created country music here. So again, it should be a genre that should be celebrated, and it should be more open and hoping that this will happen.
Yeah,
and, yeah,
for sure.
And then the last thing, you know, the last big record, I don't know about Stone. This is the new music section.
New music.
It's been a while. But I remember this record, I heard, you know, I love this rapper, but I was like, oh shit, new album. Then I remembered that the last time I heard a really good major label release on the hip hop side has been, I can't even think right now. Like maybe the problem is that even then, like some of those albums like JID and things like that were still major label releases, but long story short, it's been a rough couple of years for the OGs, is what I'll say,
for sure.
Yeah, so you know, but long story short, Schoolboy Q has a new album called Blue Lips. It was I won't say necessarily a sneak drop, but it was a very interesting rollout. Schoolboy Q came back to a personal favorite of mine, Blank Face, years ago, maybe let's say approaching the mid 2010s. He followed it up with Crash Talk, which is basically a correction. At that time, he basically said that, hey, Blank Face is a little bit too serious, a little bit too autobiographical. I would do something a little more lighthearted, which was Crash Talk. It was liked, but I would say not necessarily, I won't say it was critically panned, but it's definitely seen more of a career low point.
Yeah.
And so as a result, I wasn't really amped for this record. You know, I heard some tracks, he had some interesting videos that were very meta. And honestly, I was like, all right, cool. I'm bored on a Friday, let me put this on. And I was 100% blown away.
Yeah, same. And I think, you know, I'm not the hugest Q fan, but, you know, I feel like, you know, obviously Blank Face was a really great album. Oxymoron was a great album as well. And then, yeah, like Crash Talk, I think even Q would say, like, not his greatest effort. You know, he kind of said, like, he was trying to go a little bit too commercial. And I think this album, Blue Lips, is kind of return to form, where I think Q is kind of like, you know what? This is my lane. And, you know, I live in Calabasas now. My lane has given me a bag. So, like, you know, fuck the haters and the label. Like, I'm just going to go back to my lane. And I feel like that, to me, is very evident in this album. I think, like, the one thing that, like, I, like, really loved was the production. The production actually kind of reminded me of Oxymoron in a lot of ways, which I think, like, Oxymoron is one of my favorite produced albums because it's just so crazy.
Yeah.
With the production. And I think like Schoolboy has that too. I admire Schoolboy as a person because, you know, I was watching like him on Golf Digest TV the other day. you know? And he literally just kind of like, yes, I got my bag. I moved to Calabasas. I play golf every day. Like, what do you want to do? I'm still from Compton, right? Like, and you see a lot of those elements in this album where it's just kind of like, he's still kind of talking about like his roots, but he's also talking about his daughter. He's talking about being there for his daughter. Like you know, like there's a lot of that in this album where I think he's balancing a lot of that stuff. And that I think is very striking to me as well, where it's just like, you know, like I think one of the good things about hip hop is that, like, it used to be back in the day, we strive for quote unquote authenticity, meaning like once a gangster, always a gangster, right?
Yeah.
And now I think there's a lot of different dimensions to people, and I'm glad that Q is kind of, and he showed this a little bit on Crash Talk too, but like, he's able to show this like multi-dimensional side of him in this album as well. So yeah, I think like by default one of like the best hip hop albums of the year, but even, you know, like there's not a lot of hip hop albums of this caliber this year, so that kind of sucks, but that shouldn't be an asterisk for this album, because I think it's a really great album and it's a really great return to form for sure.
Yeah, no, I think, and I don't know if I texted you to this, Gorda reminded me a lot. It was basically Kanye's Life of Pablo, but like that's kind of actually done well.
Yeah.
I think of Kanye's Life of Pablo, and you saw from the cover, was the fact of where, hey, I live a crazy life. You know, here's a gospel song. Here's a song about white assholes. It's like, here's a dichotomy of man. I think while there was very just almost, it was a hard drive up, which worked. I think what's cool about this is that, you know, in this record, there's a lot of beat switches that are done very awkwardly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily compare it to like Travis Scott, because Travis Scott, you know, even a sickle mode kind of makes sense. This is very much like he'll have a line about, let's say, you know, like you look at the, you know, Thank God For Me. Like those beat switches are very, very awkwardly placed. But lyrically, they make sense. It's like he'll reference something and the beat will switch the same way the last thing he referenced, and then it'll continue on a different direction. And so you've got this production, which is very manic, but also very well planned. And I think it's cool about it, going back to the idea, is that, you know, Kanye's dichotomy of man, like, was an interesting thing, because again, it was something he's kind of always visited, you know, the idea of being a Christian and being very materialistic. You know, we're talking about pre-crazy Kanye.
Yeah.
I think with Schoolboy, he's mature. And so it's an issue of like, yeah, like I will shoot you over my daughter, like,
yeah,
like chewing gum if I have to. At this, and I'm dealing with those demons of those days. At the same time, I'm living life. And I think what's cool about it is the idea of where it kind of serves all those masters, and it's masterfully done. It's not an easy record. And I think what's cool is, you know, like I said, it's been a really rough couple of years for big mainstream hip hop. You know, you've had, and again, not to say these are bad records, but like Travis Scott, you know, you've got with Drake. These aren't like, oh, terrible, like, oh, these things sucks. But there's, you can just tell that at this point in time, there's no passion behind it.
Yeah.
And what's cool is that with, like, you know, you could kind of make the argument with Crash Talk, it was going to be a similar pitfall, but clearly this is a correction. Clearly he's happy to be rapping. Clearly he's got a lot of things he wants to talk about, and it just shines. And like, and he's gotten the budget to do it. So
yeah,
I mean, again, it's like you said, it's not a knock on it to say it's probably going to be one of the biggest rap albums of the year as far as major labels concerned, but that doesn't discount the effort he put into it. Like, he showed up to play, and that's why, you know, it's like, I've been listening to it, you know, I come back to it, I hear new things all the time, the beat switches, and again, it's, he just made something that's very well put together piece of art, where, you know, obviously, it's always, Kendrick will always get the shine because Kendrick does something in a very specific way. But we have to give props to Schoolboy, because he's within a very easily cliche genre of gangster rap, and he's done so much of it as outside of the box, where it's like he's this almost experimental artist. So, like, you know, definitely one of my favorite records of the year so far.
Yeah, it's really interesting too, because like I sometimes I forget that, because TDE is like such a weird thing now. Right, like SZA is the highest artist on TDE by a mile, right? And like, if you ask like a hip hop backpacker, they'll say Kendrick, but like, no, Kendrick is like that star luster has like gone down. But you know, you have Absol, you have like Schoolboy, you have like these these dudes who are like continuously kind of putting out like really, even if it's not the best or top tier stuff, it's like there's an output there. But I think Schoolboy, I don't know if he's like still affiliated like deep with TDE, but like he's starting to carve out his own identity and he's starting to kind of say like, hey, like I'm not just like the guy on TDE, like listen to Kendrick, but then still listen to me. Like he's like saying like, hey, here's who I am. Right. And I think that's really important as well. It's a great album. And it's like one of those things where I'm not the biggest Schoolboy Q fan, but I'm taking notice, right? And I'm also kind of, again, like him being like, hey, this is who I am, makes me also want to just like cheer for him as a person, right?
Agreed.
And it's personal development, you know, which is to me, it's crazy because I don't worship celebrities, but it's like, you know, it's like, oh, I want this guy to win. You know,
yeah, no, and I think it's aspirational. I think that to a certain extent, we all want to be playing golf in Calabasas for daughters.
Damn straight, dude.
Yeah. So it's just like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like he's winning, you know, obviously in life, but also winning musically. So I can't hate on that. So, you know, knock on wood, you know, great record. Hopefully it continues on this streak and, you know, many, many years of good hip hop to him to come.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. And that's about it on our end, you know, as we fly on our private jets to go to Calabasas, because we are also,
as we like, do,
Calabasas golfers, you know, that's how we do. I'll be out there, you know what I'm saying? I got a ball dude back there. I would say ball boy. Is that really? What are you, gopher? See, caddy? That's the thing. That's
caddy.
Caddy? Oh, there we go, caddy. You see, I use new slang. That's how much of a golfer I am. This is underground new slang of golfer slang cuts.
Oh, man, well, you know, the Bitcoin just hit a new high, so you know we out here, but we're going to diversify our bonds, like Wu Tang. Diversify. You know, we're going to invest in real estate, like Larry June. You know, we'll be out there. We'll be out in Calabasas for sure.
with the Michael Jordan fucking golfing shoes. Those are terribly ugly looking kicks. Universally terribly ugly.
You know,
and on that,
We're trying out here. We're trying, black people. Like, we're trying.
And on that note, we love y'all. Stay safe. And despite what a white man says, stay woke.
Stay woke. Peace.